All right, our next speaker is Tom Fernandez.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. As Bob mentions, we get to do the presentations, but the people that do the work are somewhere else right now. Vicky Wang, Junie is her first name. She went by Vicky, or goes by Vicky, was my graduate student on this project, and she did a fantastic job with the work that I'll be presenting. And I'm going to be talking about the water use and the growth, so John will answer your questions in a little bit. Fortunately, I think everyone will probably have something like this, so we can go through a lot of this quickly. We know plastics are a problem from carbon, use of carbon resources, and then also what happens to them in landfills at the end of their life. So the objectives for the part that I'm going to be talking about was to look at the growth of the plants, both in a growth index and a biomass, and then also their water use in these different containers, and then to determine the suitability of these containers for a one-year production cycle. Now, the manufacturers of these containers, for most of them, specifically state that they intend them for one season only, that the wood pulp ones. The root pouch is a little different, as is the keratin container. So our sites, Bob mentioned the sites that we used for the nursery portion of the SDRI project, and this just gives you the geographic locations of them, so from Michigan Zone 5 down to Texas Zone 8A. And as Bob mentioned, here's the same slide, so you can see what our treatments were, and then also what years we used different containers. Now in Michigan, in 2011, I think the other cooperating states had a problem with a pathogen in the euonymus crop, and somehow we managed to not have that problem in Michigan. So I'll be reporting some 2011 data and then 2012 and 13 data that will complement what Bob already presented. But we used black plastic containers for all years. We used wood pulp from Western Pulp Products for all years. We used another wood fiber one in the 2011 study, a recycled plastic fabric, that's root pouch for those of you familiar with that one, in 2012, and keratin in 2012, and then we used a core container in 2013. And so this gives you an image of what the containers look like. 2011, you see them side by side, the plastic, wood fiber, and wood pulp. 2012, we kept the wood pulp container and added keratin, and then root pouch, so we had four containers that year. And then in 2013, we had the plastic core and wood pulp. The experimental design was a completely randomized design. These were, each of these, they look like blocks. These blocks were the reps. There were 15 sub-reps per rep, and then we had a row of guard plants surrounding all of the containers. So you can see in some of these, you'll see, well, there's no mouse working, I guess. You'll see labels on some of the containers. Those are the sub-reps, and then the guard plants without labels on them. You can see some wires coming out of there, and that's how we determine daily water use. So we had a Campbell data logger system. We used Decagon EC5 sensors. They were inserted at a 45 degree angle toward the between the plant and the sidewall, and in this orientation, so that the thinner part was upwards, and also with the Eco EH3 or EH5 on the top part as well. So that's kind of important for people that know about sensor placement to have it inserted properly. We used this to measure the daily water use, and then we irrigated twice a day at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. in most of the locations. And the way we calculated daily water use, so this we recorded substrate moisture every 15 minutes, and this is what one of those dry down curves looks like for one day. And we took a reading at 15 minutes after the irrigation event. We allowed 15 minutes for gravitational drainage and also for the saturated zone to leave the sensor profile. And then we took another reading immediately before irrigation occurred. And of course, since this was all run through the Campbell program, it was pretty instantaneously done. So then we calculated the difference in moisture, and then we could determine what volume of water we needed to replace on that every 12-hour period. We'd add those two 12-hour periods together, of course, to get the daily water use for the plants. In Texas, they just have to be different in Texas, I guess. So they watered a little differently. They watered at 7 a.m. and 1 p.m., and they watered at a standard volume. So they applied 500 milliliters per plant. And then they determined daily water use by weight every day. I guess every day. Yeah. So someone was out there a lot. We did measure EC and pH with the pour-through technique, and Vicki is on the right, so she's the one doing all the work, of course. We had several undergraduates helping us on this. We measured growth index as well, so growth index is height plus two widths, and divided that by three. That was done every 2 weeks. At the end of the season, we separated plants into shoots and roots and recorded dry weights after we dried them down. I'm not going to discuss water use efficiency, but we'll have that in the publication that will result from this. Fairly standard statistics, so we did repeated measures for growth index, CC, pH, and then we did a ProxyLM for temperature and daily water use data. I'm not going to talk about temperature because Bob just did a great job of doing that. So we'll start with the dry weights. So this answers your questions, John. This is Euonymus. Again, Euonymus was in 2011, and only the Michigan plants survived through the, I don't know, the transport process or something came from the nursery. Or I think Bob might have done some analysis on that. He can discuss that if we need to. Again, we had three pots, the plastic, the wood pulp, and the cord, which is very similar to wood fiber. I don't know how different they are. They wouldn't share how they made these pots with us. So we can see the dry weight. In Michigan, we did have some differences in leaf dry weight and root dry weight, lower dry weights in the wood pulp in the cord or the wood fiber pot. The total dry weight, when we add them all together, there's enough variability that it kind of disappeared. Interestingly, we had higher mortality in October at the end of the growing season on the plastic containers and very low mortality for the alternative containers. But then in June, after overwintering these plants, it definitely switched. So we had a slight increase in mortality for the plastic containers and a huge increase in mortality for the fiber containers. Can you guess why? So in Michigan, we covered, and I think Kentucky also, we covered the hoop houses with solid plastic. We have to blow out our irrigation systems, and we can't irrigate until the following spring. And so these two containers, as Bob showed in his lab study, lose a lot of water through the container walls. So these really dried out. They were completely desiccated at the end of the overwintering period for Michigan. So we had much higher mortality. Okay, for boxwood, a lot of data. So now we have all the states in that they grew the boxwoods, except for Tennessee. Tennessee joined us in 2013. You can see not a lot of differences. There are some significant differences in shoot dry weight in Kentucky. And there's some differences in root dry weight in Kentucky and a little bit in Mississippi. Fairly small differences. The larger differences are the ones that occurred in Texas. And so we had both lower shoot dry weight and root dry weight in the alternative containers in Texas, except for the root dry weight for the wood pulp container. And again, that kind of points out the importance of irrigating. So we irrigated in Michigan, Kentucky, Mississippi based on water use of the plants. So we were replacing 100% of what they used the prior day. Texas was irrigating at a set volume. And so they may not have been irrigating enough to replace the amount of water the plants were using. And so it resulted in a stress on these plants and reduced root and shoot growth. Mortality for boxwood was great. We didn't have any losses either in October or the following spring. And then Caryopteris, most of us are trying to forget the winter of 2013-2014. You can see the plants forgot it before we did. So you can, the mortality jumps right out at you. But again, we had very few differences in Michigan and Kentucky, a little bit in Tennessee and Mississippi, Tennessee for shoot dry weights. Texas was a little, I think there might be a typo there, 8.6 and 7 instead of 7.6 on the dry weight there for core. So a little bit of difference in Texas for the shoot dry weight, again for the wood pulp, and also the root dry weight for wood pulp. So core also had some problems in Kentucky and Michigan with the root dry weight as well, a fairly large decrease in root dry weight. Again, mortality in Michigan and Kentucky, 90 to 100% of Caryopteris, and Texas, 14%. Tennessee, somehow they managed to get them all through. All right, let's talk about, growth index. No differences in growth index for all of the states except for Texas. And then in Texas in 2012, they had the keratin, which was a solid wall and a light color, had the best growth index, followed by plastic, another solid wall, then the root pouch and the western pulp, or the wood pulp. And then in 2013, the plastic and core were similar for growth index and a lower growth index in the root pouch. I'm sorry, the western pulp. Okay, water use, and this really points out what Bob was showing with temperature, and it points out the advantage to having black pots in Michigan. So if you remember, we didn't reach the critical temperatures during any of the growing seasons in Michigan. And if you look at the water use, so the water use, the solid line is the wood pulp, the dark squares are the cord, another wood fiber product, and then the triangles are the plastic. We had higher water use early in the season in Michigan in the plastic pots, probably because in that case we had higher root temperatures, and so we had more actively growing plants. So of course, not just the temperature is affecting the root system, but it's also affecting whole plant growth. And so we had higher water use early in the season, and then that really tailed off. We had a wet fall, and so a lot of times we're getting enough rainfall to replace water use in the plastic containers. But with the high amounts of water leaving the container walls, we still needed substantial irrigation in the wood pulp and the cord plant, containers. Overall, for the other ones, we're just going to do a seasonal daily water use. Again, you see the plastic is using more water in Michigan, and so that's kind of an anomaly when you look at the other states. The other states, the plastic ended up using a lower amount of water. The keratin one, the light-colored solid wall, used even less in all of the other states. And then the wood pulp and the root pouch were using fairly high amounts of water in most of the states. Caryopteris in 2013, we see a little bit more balancing out in Michigan. The plastic and the core are similar. And then lower water use in this case, we think they might have changed the composition of the wood pulp. That's one of the problems of not knowing what they put into this. So we saw a difference in water use in the wood pulp in the final year. But typically more water use for the alternative containers in most of the states except Michigan. We did look at water vapor transmission, but we'll go over that really quickly because Bob already did it. We used a different procedure, but we found substantially higher transmission in the wood pulp and the root pouch than the keratin and the black plastic. Keratin and black plastic, almost no water transmission through the sidewalls, and fairly substantial. This is kilograms per meter per second. We did find degradation of containers over 1 year. Even at 5 months, we had containers starting to fall apart. And then at 12 months, we had bottoms a lot of times rotting out. Okay, so in summary, no difference in growth index except for Texas. Few practical differences in dry weight, again, except for Texas. And that exception is probably related to the way the plants were irrigated. I didn't report the EC and pH data. There were really no differences, no substantial differences in EC and pH for the leachate. And then again, the daily water use was typically higher for the porous-sided pots, of course, with the exception of Michigan in this case, where the black plastic gave us an advantage. Okay, so in conclusion, the alternative pots are suitable for one production season at best. The root pouch was an exception because that was made of recycled plastic, so it was much more durable. Overwintering without irrigation definitely increased the mortality, so that can be a problem in locations with long and severe winters. And the porous-sided containers use much more water. So Dwayne's in the room, but I don't think we're going to have time for discussion. I think the carbon versus water question is one that we really have to answer. I estimate we're using about 1 gram of carbon equivalents for a number three container for one season of production in Michigan. And I think if we just look at it as a carbon cost of water, that's one way to look at it. But I think there's a lot of other costs when you conserve water that can lead to carbon savings in that case. Okay, so with that, I'd really like to thank Vicki again. Vicki Wang did a great job on this project, and then all of our funding agencies for their support. And we probably need to move on.
We can take one question.
Okay. Yes.
Do you use the copper treated wood pulp pot?
No.
And why not?
It was the pots. Genoa's not here. Genoa arranged the pots that we used. I'm not sure why we didn't use a copper treated one, but we didn't use it. No. Okay, thank you.